This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
You know, some of my friends say, you love every car. You love all cars. I say, no, I don't love all cars. I hate electric cars. So there. I actually have been accused of insulting people about certain cars. It's a bad habit of mine. If they're electric cars and I don't like them, I just, you know, it is what it is. But so today we'll start out with BJ Colleen on the line here, voice of reason in my world, talking about a car that we don't so much like. So BJ.
Well, you say we, but I'm going to take the blame on this one because okay. I don't know how you feel about it. But, there aren't really any bad cars out there. We've talked about that numerous times, how there's not really any bad cars out there. But once in a while, you just get a car that just does not suit you. And, you know, it's not for lack of trying, but the Mazda CX-9 and I do not get along. And I think a big part of it has to do with the connectivity system that just bugs the heck out of me. And I think mostly it's because I don't like how the system is set up. I think it's overly complicated. For example, if you want to just set a radio station, you know, most vehicles, there's a spot you just push and hold the button and the radio, your favorite radio station is set.
Oh yeah.
With the way that the Mazda system is connected, and boy, I hope our friend Matthew Balbuena never hears this because I think he's responsible for a lot of
this. I'm sending it to him.
But it's like five steps just to set your favorite radio station. And it's just overly complicated and frustrating. And, you know, you can't even turn the sound off. It'll only mute it when you hit the button. And I can understand, okay, it's muted, but it's still just some freaky things on there that just don't make me happy. And you know, when you get in a vehicle, and I hope everybody does this, but you get inside your vehicle, especially a new one, when you're trying them out, you're going on test drives. How does everything feel to you? Can you reach things easily? You know, how are the ergonomics? Can you touch the controls easily? Do the seats feel good? Does the interior feel like it's good for your size? And that's another problem with the CX-9. And I know that it's getting a little bit older. I think they redesigned it in 2016. This is a 2020. But even the center console is too wide. And I'm not the tallest person in the world. But when my legs are hitting on both sides, I just think to myself, how will this be comfortable on a long drive?
Yeah.
So I have a problem with that. You know, and it's a decent vehicle. I mean, it's got all the safety features that you could want. It's got smart brake support and Mazda Radar smart cruise control with stop and go. It's got a 360-degree camera. And, you know, the seats are nice and comfortable, but I just did not fit in this cabin. I just didn't like it. For the size of the vehicle it was, I think it needs to be designed so it has a little bit more space in the interior. The seats are comfortable. It does have three rows of seats, but it has a high center of gravity, which gives you a little bit more feel of body roll when you're driving the vehicle a little bit more aggressively. Again, being older, it has a six-speed automatic transmission. You know, everybody's gone to eight speeds and things like that. It did have all-wheel drive, so the vehicle felt a little bit heavier. But I think the horsepower, it's got 227 horsepower and 310 pound-feet of torque, which is great torque, and the horsepower is adequate. And I think it did well driving down the road. I thought it was comfortable. But just a lot of the little things did not add up for me. I couldn't get the Apple CarPlay to connect, no matter how many times I plugged it and unplugged it. The touchscreen was out of reach. The steering wheel felt thin in my hands. And you know, you just drove what BMW did you just drive?
Oh, I gave it a 15 out of 10. And the BMW M8 Competition Convertible, 155,500, just tested. No, at starting price, 155,500. 155. Well, it better be a 15. You know what I mean?
But BMW understands, like, when you grab that steering wheel, you want to feel something substantial. And some of the BMW M Series vehicles, I can't even get my hands around the steering wheel. It's so thick and, you know, you can grab onto. And this just felt cheap to me. It didn't feel right.
Oh!
And then when you get that feeling of cheapness, it makes you think about the whole vehicle like that.
Ouch.
So what were you going to say?
Oh, just take a break. Take a break. Take a break. Wow, you really just didn't like that thing. Oh my gosh, Matthew Valbuena, what are we going to do? I'm going to send it to him. You know what? And we love Matt. Matt has been on this show for probably 15 years.
Yes.
Mazda CX-9 test drive. They're telling me to take a break. It's the best thing to do right now. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
BJ does not like the BMW. No, I like the BMW. See, I'm looking at a picture of the BMW. M8 competition. She doesn't like the Mazda CX-9, but I like the BMW M8 competition convertible. I gave it a score of 15 out of 10. That's how I roll. If I like it, I love it. If I hate it, I hate it. Are you like that, BJ? If you hate it, you hate it.
That's kind of how I feel about the CX-9. Well, you know, they've got different trim levels, and you can get into it for about 33 for the sport model. But the model I had was the signature all-wheel drive, and it came in about 46, 47 with the destination. And so, you know, $48,000 for a vehicle, there's a lot of other options out there. And again, maybe you like this feature. Maybe you like the connectivity system. You don't know until you get in the vehicle and sit behind it and drive it. But I just know that this is not the vehicle for me. Now, the good news is I love the Mazda 6. The Mazda 3 is a blast. I'm getting in the CX-5 in a couple of days, and I'm sure I'll like that one. It's just this one just was not for me.
But you know what it is? Here's the deal. If I put on a pair of your shoes, I'd go, you know what I'm saying? And if you put on a
walking high heels.
But that's right. But if you put on a pair of my shoes, you'd be slopping around in them because I got a size 11 and a half foot. So, I mean, that's how cars are. When you put your foot into a shoe and it fits just right, you go, that's it. And when you put one in that's too tight, you go, that's not it. You just happen to hit one here that is not it. I'll give you an example. I recently got this truck, okay? 44,000 original miles on a 98 GMC. It's a 3500, one-ton, crew cab, dual-wheel, four-wheel drive. Just an awesome old truck with 44,000 miles. A cream puff. It's like it's been in a time machine. It was actually in an airplane hangar most of its life in San Diego. Some rich guy owned it. So I love this truck. But I get out of my Ram. I had a Ram that had air-conditioned seats, a 2017. Now, remember, I'm in a 98 now. So I get out of my 2017 that has everything, and I get into this 98, and all of a sudden, I'm dealing with yestertech. It's like everything is old technology, but it had a late model stereo put into it. And I'm telling you what, this stereo is from hell. It is demonically possessed. It never does what I want it to do, right? And it's like a nice Sony stereo, but I want to tell you, I immediately started hating my whole truck. I started hating the whole truck. Then the other day I was driving it and I had shorts on because it's summertime and it has leather seats and my fat legs were sticking to the leather seats and I'm like, I'm hating this truck. Then the lumbar support is either too soft or too firm and I'm starting to hate my truck. So there's a couple of little things. I love the truck, but I hate the stereo. I don't like the leather anymore. I thought I loved the leather, but it's not the leather. It's that it doesn't have those little perforations like the new ones do. You know what I mean? Because I don't have air-conditioned seats. So the problem with cars is they're like shoes. And when they fit, you love them. You love them. You wear them out, right? But when they don't fit, they'll sit in your closet looking brand new. And you're like, no, those hurt my feet. I'm not wearing them. And that's what's going on, right?
It's a perfect analogy. You're absolutely right. And it just goes to show that you really need to do your research before you buy a car. And I love watching people say, oh, I'm just going to go to Carvana and buy a car and not even test drive. It's like, to me, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. You're spending, you know, it's the third most expensive purchase you're making in your life behind a car and a college education. Why are you being so flippant about it? Yeah. Why not go and test drive the car and make sure you like it and that fits you? Because, you know, what are you going to do? Keep buying it and then turn it back in because you don't like it? Go to the shoe store. Try on the shoes. Find out how long they're going to last. How are they made? What do you like about the shoes? Do they fit you right? I mean, you have to do your homework.
Exactly.
Because when you're spending $50,000 on a vehicle, if you're not doing your homework, you're going to end up with something you're going to absolutely hate driving.
You
and like
what?
You said,
yep.
You know, you have to spend time with it. Go back and test drive it 3 times until you're sure. And then go drive the competition, because you said as much as you love your little vehicle from 98, there are still features that bug you so much that you don't even want to drive it anymore. You know, it's frustrating.
And you know what? And the same thing happens with the Toyota Supra that I have. I bought it. I drove it on a racetrack. Fell in love with it at the racetrack, but I don't live on a racetrack. What good does it do me? Because when I'm driving it out on the street, it's just a car. It's not like a car that like just revs my engine. You know what I mean?
Yes,
so yeah, and I have some shoes in my closet. I was going to say in my garage that have been sitting there staring at me for 10 years. I'm not throwing them away, but I will not wear the damn things. Who wants corns? I don't like corns. I only like corn on the cob. We'll be right back. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor
and BJ Colleen. Oh, this part of the show is officially called the Hate Fest. We're just hating on shoes that we have that we love that we cannot wear because they don't fit us, and cars that we get that we don't love because they don't fit us. And I really hate that when I buy it. So I'm the owner of a Toyota Supra. I love the car. I really do. It's like those shoes in my closet. I love it. I love looking at it. I love walking around. I love smelling the leather, just might like my shoes. But I just don't love the car when I'm driving it. Unless I'm on a racetrack, which, how am I going to get to a racetrack? There's not one within 300 miles of me. Well, I guess there is one within 300 miles of me, but I just don't go to it. So, BJ, you know, electric cars.
What? Just real quickly, Alan, it's funny because you're right. I love watching people drive around the streets on Ferraris because you're going 35 miles an hour, the same speed I can go in my Toyota Corolla. You know, so unless you're taking it to the track and you're just showing off, what's the point of having it? You know, because you're not getting to drive it like it's intended to be driven. So if you buy a Ferrari and don't drive around the track, you should be shot.
By the way, did you get the email invite to the new Ram TRX? Or T-Rex.
No, I didn't.
Oh,
did
I just a couple of hours ago. They're evidently now going to finally talk about it. This would be for those truck buyers out there, the Ford Raptor version of a Ram truck. They're calling it the T-Rex or TRX or whatever it is. And they're finally going to start talking about it. Of course, now the Bronco, they've taken a handful of journalists out in these Broncos. I'm not one of them. But evidently, from what I'm hearing about the new Ford Bronco, it is awesome. But Jeep is going to have to, you know, continue upping the game with their, you know, of course, they've said they're going to put the 392 in the Wrangler. And I'm crossing my fingers and hoping not to die before the fact that they could put a 392 V8 in a Gladiator Wrangler truck. Is, you know what, the Gladiator is the Wrangler truck. Oh, man, that would just be awesome. The question is, could they make or would they make a Bronco with a half cab so it's like a little truck? You know what I mean?
I don't know what they're going to do. You know, Bronco, they've created to be its own brand inside the brand of the Ford division. So
yeah,
it's interesting, but I think that they want to stay as true to what the Bronco brand stands for. Now, I obviously have learned to say never, because things happen all the time. But because General Motors and Chevrolet botched the Blazer intro so badly by just creating another mom mobile and nothing close to the Bronco, the Bronco is reaping all the benefits of it. So they're not going to do anything that's going to harm the brand. But if something comes along and those trucks are a big seller, then maybe they will. But again, they've got the Raptor. I can see more of a Raptor version of a Ranger, because they are doing that in other countries. I would see that come here before I'd see that happen to the Bronco. What do you think?
Oh, I think they're going to do it eventually. I mean, look, they've sold out the whole 2020, you know, whatever, how many hundred thousand, whatever it was going to be. And my friends are like, why didn't you buy one? You're an idiot. I said, because I'm not made out of money. You're an idiot. You know, it's like, come on. You know, that's how guys talk, by the way. It's exactly in that tone. But it's like, you know, how many cars can you buy? And I'm getting to that age where I could say I've owned almost every kind of thing I've wanted to own. Have I owned a Bentley? No. Do I want to? No. Would I, if somebody gave me one, I'll take it. You know, have I owned a lot of different cars? No. But I've owned so many cool cars, and that it's like, oh, God, I'm so happy to be at the age where I can actually buy what I want. But then when I get what I want, I realize, oh, I didn't really want that, because I wasn't, like we were talking about, I wasn't smart enough to really, you know, go and drive it on the street and think about, how am I really going to use this vehicle? You know, here we are at the racetrack and we're like, yeah, baby. But you can't drive like that on the street. And if you do, you know, you look like an idiot, because at my age, I look like an idiot driving fast anyway. But even on a racetrack, because of all this white hair I have. But I don't know. I mean, it's like when you buy a car, you really have to kind of use higher thinking. Because guys, and that's what, but see, this is where having you on the show for me is so important. Guys think with their lower anatomy, truly, the dangling participles, you know what I'm talking about. They literally make decisions based on their man parts. And women actually use higher thinking. Let's see, does it carry all the kids? Will it take the dog and the kids? Will it tow a boat?
Fuel economy.
You know, yeah. Yep. And will it do everything we want to? And the guy's like, he's just grunting and, you know, dual exhaust, you know. And so that's why it really does. It takes a team. And when you're spending, like you said, 50 grand, 100 grand on a car sometimes. I mean, look, some of these SUVs reach 100 grand. You really need to use higher thinking. And they have so many good websites today that help you with that stuff. You know.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And don't get me wrong. I don't not like the fast sports cars. I love them. I love them on the track. But I realize that I don't get to drive them like I want to on the street. So why would I want to own one? I think my next car is going to be a project vehicle. I'm going to have room in my garage, and I'm going to find something that I could rebuild an engine
really?
And work on. So, yeah, I think I'm going to look into something.
That's awesome. So.
Yeah, I'll let you know what I decide on.
This week earlier, they showed the new Cadillac. Is it called Lyric? Or what's it called?
Lyric. Yeah, the Lyric.
Interesting name. I didn't even think about it, but, you know, lyrics to a music, you know, lyrics. Now I'm understanding this word Lyric, but it's an electric, all-electric Cadillac. I don't know anything about it. We'll have to do a little bit of homework, talk to somebody about it maybe on the next hour or something, but I know they keep on making more and more damn electric vehicles that people are just not buying. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
You won't get this one either.
Okay. Well, BJ, thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Fun as always.
I think it's important that we not like every car. I didn't say that they're bad cars, but we don't have to like every one of them. Just like shoes. Just like clothing. Just like food. We'll be right back with Brian Moody from Auto Trader. Whispering the words melt everyone,
but you stay so cool. Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
What's that sound? What is that sound?
Moody, Moody.
They're not booing. It just sounds like it. They're chanting.
Moody. Brian Moody's on the phone, executive editor over at autotrader.com. I got to tell you, I love buying and selling stuff. I sold one of my, I had two tractors. I bought a tractor just real quickly before we get going. I bought a tractor and then I bought a better tractor, which happens because, see, I continue to watch the newspapers and the social media. And of course, you don't have Tractor Trader, but you know, you have equipment and things like that. But the point is that I bought one. I had two. So, you know, I stuck it out there and it was for sale. And this morning before work, I sold my tractor. I love buying and selling. There's like something in my blood. I have bought and sold everything from airplanes, cars, heavy equipment, motorhomes, a hang glider, bicycles, motorcycles, quads, tractors, you name it. I love buying and selling. It's in my blood, Brian. So Auto Trader,
here's what I want.
What?
Here's what I want. Yeah. Tell me what you think about these. Right. I think I want a Buick Riata.
Oh.
Or an Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra wagon from like 1995.
Well, both rare. The Cutlass Sierra wagons are going up. I'm talking about trending up like crazy. Used to be able to buy one of those.
Not the V8 ones. Those are super expensive. I'm talking about the mid-size ones that are V6s.
What year did you say?
95. You're talking about like the 92 Cutlass wagons, the same as a Roadmaster with a V8.
Right.
Some of them have a 350, but not many. I'm talking about the 3.1 liter front-wheel drive V6 Cutlass Sierra that nobody wants. You can get for like $2,500. I don't know why. I just like them.
Did they even make them?
I
don't know that I've ever even seen one.
Wood paneling and everything.
And you want one?
Yeah.
I always knew you were kind of a strange man. Always.
Yeah.
Moody.
What are you gonna
Moody. What was the other one? I can't remember already.
Buick Riata.
Riata. Now, my niece has a Buick Riata, and she loves it.
Yeah, they're not that expensive either. They're still, you can find nice ones for way less than 10 grand, like maybe even 4, 5, 6 for clean ones.
Yeah. Mm. Boy, you are a strange one. I'll tell you what, though, the weirder,
when it comes
to cars, the weirder the better, you know?
Yeah, for
That's
sure.
Funny. All right, so speaking of weird cars. Speaking of weird cars, does anybody out there know what PHEV stands for? FIV. PHEV. No, nobody's raising their hand. It is plug-in hybrid electric vehicle. Toyota RAV4 PHEV. Plug-in hybrid electric
vehicle. Should I explain?
Yes.
Well, okay, so for people listening that don't know, a plug-in hybrid is a hybrid that you can plug in if you want to. If you don't plug it in, it works like a regular hybrid. So the Toyota, let's say the Honda Accord hybrid, right? You don't plug it in. You just put gas in it, you drive it around, it gets great gas mileage.
Right.
A plug-in hybrid, like the RAV4, like the Prius Prime, RAV4 Prime is what it's called, like the Honda Clarity, I think that's one. You plug it in and you can drive around for a short distance on electric, and then once the electricity is all used up in the battery, it switches over to a traditional hybrid, which uses a small combination of gas and electricity.
So there's a
2021 Toyota RAV4 Prime that's a PHEV.
I think the PHEV, which is a mouthful, is the way to go. Because like this 2021 Toyota RAV4, which is a small SUV, and if you're not going far, if you're just going to go a couple of miles down to the store to get a loaf of bread and back, man, it costs you next to nothing to go there because you're going to go all electric and you can plug your vehicle in and the engine will never start up. I think it's brilliant. So you're driving.
That's true.
It,
and so about regarding the 2021, there's a couple things that I think they did, and they did above and beyond. So they say, Toyota says, that the plug-in, the electric-only range is about 42 miles, okay? Well, I drove the car for quite some time, and I was consistently getting 47, 48, 49 miles of electric-only range. So imagine a car that gives you 50 miles, and just let's just say colloquially, 50 miles worth of plug-in electric-only range. Like you said, you're going to be using like electric-only most days. Only when you go on a long trip or you need to go farther is the gasoline engine going to kick in. So right. That's one of the things that they're, you know, above and beyond in terms of electric, you know, plug-in electric. And the other thing they did was for 2021, you know how when it switches from electricity to gas, it's loud or it's clunky? They eliminated that. Mm. It's almost imperceptible. I had to turn the radio down to hear when the gas engine was coming on. That is something they should get credit for.
So seamless is the word probably, right?
Yes, that's exactly yeah. The word I was thinking of.
Well, and you know, it was so clunky to begin with. I remember back in, I don't know, 10 years yeah. ago, or and it's funny, 10 years ago, hybrids were already 10 years old, right? So they've been around right. 20 plus years now. They, right. you know,
so
Toyota did a good job.
If you're into that, this yeah. would be a perfect one. Great yeah. packaging, all that kind of stuff.
Well, Toyota did a great job, even with the original Prius. They really did do a great job on this machine. And here we are 20 years down the road, still doing a wonderful job. I've seen people with 300,000 miles on their Priuses, and they're still going right along
yeah.
like nothing. So hats
right.
off to Toyota.
So that experiment's been run. Yeah. Like, they're reliable.
Right.
And as a punchline to all that, this plug-in RAV4 Prime, you're going to be surprised. What would you guess the base price is? Because these things are typically expensive, right?
So wait a minute. They're calling it a RAV4 Prime?
Yeah. Prime in Toyota speak means plug-in hybrid. So
oh.
Prius Prime means plug-in hybrid.
Okay, how much is it?
If you get a Prius, a Prime, it's just a hybrid.
Gotcha. How much is it?
$31,800.
Oh, wow. And is that after the federal tax credits and things like
no,
that?
No, that's
oh.
the base price. So you have to add tax and delivery to that. But for a small SUV that's nicely equipped and has the potential of running on up to, say, 50, in my experience, 50 miles of electric only, that's a pretty good price when you consider cars like the Bolt and the Leaf are much more. Now, granted, those are electric only, I get it, but I think the flexibility, like you said, of gas and electricity fits most people's needs better than just all electric or, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I think Toyota RAV4 is their best-selling vehicle anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 Well, a wonderful machine. They really make some great colors, too, by the way. If you're searching for something like this, try a 2021 Toyota RAV4 Prime, which is the plug-in hybrid electric vehicle. It'll probably blow your mind. All right, hang tight. We want to talk about more EVs and some luxury sports cars because I just got out of one. $155,000 BMW M8 convertible competition. Oh, my gosh. I gave it a 15 out of 10. We'll take a break. It's The Drive. You can go your own way.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
Oh, yeah, little Pink Floyd, have a cigar. It is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Our show brought to you in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. And we thank Dodge for sponsoring the show. Brian Moody joining us, executive editor over at Auto Trader, autotrader.com. You can find just about anything you want to know about cars over there these days. It's not like the old days where you had a little magazine and you picked it up. Nowadays, you can watch videos. Brian Moody, do you do videos, Brian, anymore?
I'm semi-retired.
No,
I do. It's just a lot of trouble. And
there's
people
work.
That are better at it than me.
Yeah. Well, you could have hired me to do that, but no, I get it. That's all right. Don't worry about it.
But now, these days, here's what it is. Now it's like the guy that does the video,
yeah,
it's all in one. It's the guy who does the on-camera. It's the guy who shoots. It's the guy who edits.
Know.
It's the guy who adds the music.
I know.
All one person does that. The days of, like, let's get a crew, that's pretty much coming to an end unless you're, like, NBC Sports.
No, no, you're right. It used to be that if you made a video for, you know, a couple of minutes, you could spend easily $10,000, and everybody's going, well, that's not that much. But it used to be, you know, you could spend $1 million making a one-minute commercial. You still can for television.
Yeah.
But these days, you're right. I mean, if you have a cell phone, you're a videographer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
And I have a friend who's a professional videographer, and I keep asking him, dude, what camera should I get? And he goes, do you have an iPhone? And I said, yeah. And he goes, that's the best camera you're going to get for
there
the money.
There you go. Use luxury sports cars under $40,000, so that that takes the M8 competition convertible at $155,500.
It's not going to be under 40.
Oh, well.
But you'd be surprised at what you can get for less than 40. So we have a list on Auto Trader of 10 luxury performance. Now, the word luxury, I don't know. There's a Mustang on here. Is that a luxury car? I don't think so. But it is a performance car with a nice interior and all that kind of stuff. So here's 10 high performance sports cars that with a, you know, a leaning toward luxury that you can get for under 40. Number one, Chevrolet Corvette Z06. You got to go back to about 2012 to find one for less than 40, but they're out there.
Yeah.
And that's a 7-liter V8 that makes all the right noises, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yes.
Also, the Porsche 911 Targa, but you have to go back to 2007 to get one of those. But remember, for your 2007 Porsche, Porsche has a very compelling, very competitive certified pre-owned program. Well, they will recertify cars that are out of warranty, and you can get unlimited mileage on certified Porsche. So they know their cars are good. It's a car that will last, but it's still, you know, the 911 is kind of like the go-to for sports cars.
I think both those cars are going to hold their value well, so continue.
Yeah, this one probably won't. Number three is a 2017 Jaguar F-Type. Now, nothing against the F-Type. I think it's a terrific car, performance-wise, look-wise, interior-wise. It definitely fits the luxury bill. But the F-Type doesn't quite have the name recognition or the heritage as some other models, and so sometimes the prices drop rather quickly after they're not new. That's why on our list, 2017 is a fairly new high-performance car that you can get for less than
just
40.
Beautiful.
But I like
too.
The car personally.
Me too. Go ahead.
Number four, BMW Z4. You don't have to go back too far. Go back to 2015, 2016. You'll find one sometimes for less than $20,000 if they have 50,000 miles. Those are great performance cars. Those are great sports cars. I'm really shocked at how these haven't held their value, and I don't think they're bad cars. I think that they are reliable and fun to drive at the same time.
Okay, next.
And after the BMW Z4?
Yep.
2016 Ford Mustang Shelby GT350.
Oh!
It might be close, but barely you can find some for just under $40,000. And remember, this is the 526 horsepower luxury. Well, let's just say that it's fast, and that's good enough for me.
Right. Okay, I like that one. Go ahead.
Now I got a weird one for you. You're going to like this. And again, maybe, you know, now that I think about it, maybe everywhere I go, maybe people actually are booing. I didn't think of that. I'm going to have to go contemplate that. And it's because of cars like this, the 2008 Cadillac XLR. I mean, it's a $75,000 car when it was new, and now you can get one. 320 horsepower, Northstar V8, tons of luxury, kind of a Cadillac Corvette sort of thing.
Yeah, right. I was thinking, wait a minute, is that the SUV? I thought we were talking sports cars.
No.
The acronym.
XLR.
Right.
The convertible. Remember that thing?
Yeah, it was very geomechanically designed.
Yeah, angular looking,
shall we say. Right, you got 1 minute
also,
to blow
Aston
through the
Martin,
last ones.
V8 Vantage.
Yeah.
That's one you can get for less.
Yeah.
Alfa Romeo 4C from 2015.
Ooh.
Audi TTRS.
Ooh.
If you go back a little bit. And finally, 2015 Mercedes-Benz SLK 350. If you go back to 2015, you should be able to get one for around 30 to 35.
Whoa. Well, I got to tell you, that is a pretty powerful lineup of cars under 40 grand. I don't know who I was telling. I'll just tell you. I saw a 2015 BMW M5, right? We're talking V10.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It had 100,000 miles on it, and it was only like $17,000. I went, what is wrong with this question? Wait a minute. That's too cheap. That's a lot of car. What? My wife says, quit looking at that. Quit looking at that. Anyway, there are some fantastic cars out there. This list of 10 is available at autotrader.com. We're talking about best used luxury sports cars, high on the sports cars, under $40,000. We're going to be right back and talk a little bit more about some EVs, electric vehicles for 2020, with Brian Moody from Auto Trader. This is The Drive.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, a show brought to you in part by Subaru and the all-new Outback. Go where love takes you, Subaru. Brian Moody's joining us right now from Auto Trader, autotrader.com. And best EVs, electric vehicles for 2020. We have about 5 minutes to talk about this. There's a lot more EVs going on. As a matter of fact, Cadillac. Didn't Cadillac just finally show the world their newest version? But that's a 2021. What is that thing called?
Yeah, they've been kind of, I don't know. I always thought that the ELR, well, I think that was their electric car, their series hybrid, the plug-in, thought that was a really good car. It just wasn't priced right. Back in the day, we used to call that no business case, but I don't know what we call it now. I still think they were good cars. I think that, you know, there are a lot of great choices when it comes to electric cars. But listen, you have to kind of want that to start. You're not going to just happen upon an electric car and make
it
work for you.
I agree. It isn't just a happenstance. It's something you search out. All right, searching out best EVs for 2020. Yep. What do you got?
Nissan Leaf. That's obviously the go-to one. 226-mile range if you get the right one. That's worth considering. Here's one that might be kind of new to people. The Hyundai Ioniq. A pretty good little, you know, electric car. There is the electric version. Horsepower is about 134, which is pretty quick for a small car, and starts at $33,000. Pricey, but not so much pricey for an electric car. And similar, the Kia Niro EV, that's a good one, fun to drive, and I think one of the best looking on the list. The best looking on the list, in my opinion, Hyundai Kona Electric. It just looks sharp. Looks like a small EV, drives like a small EV, priced like a small EV, if you know what I'm saying. But that's the one I think to get, in my opinion, the Hyundai Kona Electric. Also on our list, we have the Tesla Model 3. That's number two. The reason people get so excited about these is because it's such a blast to drive and has a long range, about 250 miles. And the price, about $35,000. But you can go much higher. Problem is that the Tesla isn't that much more expensive than many of the other ones on the list, but it does deliver on a very, you know, compelling overall experience.
Well,
and the number one electric. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say it's got a cachet with the name and all.
It does. And it drives like, it's great to drive. I mean, you got to hand it to them.
Well, listen, really, if you're the king of the Lilliputians, you should drive, because the Lilliputians are, you know, like the people that buy electric cars. They have their own kingdom, if you know what I mean. And the king of that is the people that drive. They feel like they've made it. They've made it to electric car heaven when they get a Tesla, which, look at, I'm not saying negative things, but, you know, it's a whole other world they live in. You know what I mean?
Well, I think the main story here, so the number one on our list for, you know, the best electric cars, fully electric cars for 2020, is the Chevrolet Bolt.
Really?
And the reason is, because it really, it's the intersection of all the best things about an electric. Great performance, really good range, reasonably pricey. I mean, it's $36,000 to start. That's not really affordable, but it's not as bad as some others. Compelling features, big screen inside. It just kind of does everything. And I think anybody who's thinking about buying an electric car, who's thinking that they're kind of small and dorky and slow, that's not the case anymore. There are a lot of good choices. when it comes to electric cars. Now, like I said, you have to kind of go in intentionally looking for that. Otherwise, you're going to probably be disappointed. But if you are looking for that, there are some on this list that I think are exceptional, specifically the Bolt, the Tesla Model 3, and the Hyundai Kona.
Well, and there's so many other ones that are available, too, that, you know, maybe I know there's a list at autotrader.com, Audi, Volvo. There's a lot of electric opportunities. But also, my producer says, were you trying to insult people with the Lilliputians? Like, no, because it's small numbers. Electric cars only sell in small numbers. It's like, okay, so then you better explain that. Anyway.
That's and they live in their own world.
They live in their own. But so you know what? As a gearhead, as a pound of flesh kind of guy, I give up my knuckles to the flesh gods when I'm working on my big V8 engines. I get it. I live in my own world. People know that. But yes, with the small numbers that they're selling of these electric cars, and they're trying to force them down our throats, it's still kind of, I choke on it a little bit every now and then. But I get it. I mean, the Tesla people, what they've done with Tesla.
But some do the job well. You know what I mean?
I agree.
I'm not like a pro EV kind of person either, but I feel like when something does the job well and does it, you know, meeting my needs, well, then I think that should be celebrated. And my honest opinion is that cars like the Hyundai Kona and the Tesla Model 3, they're almost zero compromises. Yes, there's limited range, but that's even with a gas car, you're not going to go forever. They're fun to drive, they're functional, and they offer you that little extra something that the next guy doesn't have. And I think that's the kind of thing that anybody who loves cars is kind of into. That's why I like a Riata, of all stupid things.
Oh, my God. All right, the news is going to run us over. Brian Moody, autotrader.com, the list of EVs and best used luxury sports cars and all this available at autotrader.com. Time for more Gulliver Travels after this commercial break. We'll be back. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, this hour, I have got Stephen Cole Smith, automotive journalist, motorsports expert for Auto Week, Automobile Magazine, Grassroots Motorsports, and others, on the phone. And I'm supposed to be listening very carefully for something that may or may not change or something I may notice. So I'm going to be really paying close attention to Stephen Cole Smith. Everything, the sounds in the background, the sound of your voice.
Sounds in the background. What do you mean?
Well, you know, you have cats and you have air conditioner going.
Yeah.
I can already hear the cats walking around. That's how good my ears are. Just so you know.
That's not the cats, man. I'm getting a new roof put on.
Oh, is that?
As we speak. And it's, I'll tell you, there's six guys on the roof with pneumatic nail guns.
Oh, it's awesome.
They're right over my position at this very moment. And it's kind of freaking me out a little bit. It's kind of bringing me back to my days in the desert in the storm.
Oh, man. Well, you know what?
People don't know I was there.
If a nail goes by your head and you go, what the? All of a sudden, you run out of the house, and I hear gunshots.
It could happen. I mean,
Oh, now I do. I just heard some banging up there. That's hilarious.
You're going to hear some more banging. I mean, like I said, it takes me back to the. I don't know if you were in Desert Storm. We were with Mazda, and we were in Mojave, and in the desert, and there was a storm.
It was
scary.
No, I wasn't.
And it's reminding me of that storm in the desert. And it sounds like they're coming at me from all angles. I'm just a little a little bit.
You got a little PTSD, huh?
Yeah, a little.
Post.
Yeah, no, it would be okay. I'm on medication.
By the way, it would actually be PMSD for post Mazda stress because you're on a Mazda event.
Oh, well, the other people have said PMS to me, and I don't think they meant Mazda. So,
oh, gotcha.
I appreciate you.
You're funny, man. You're funny.
Well, how are you doing, man? We got a pretty good racing weekend for the middle of August. Who else is on the show today? You got anybody talking about racing besides me?
No, you're the racing guy. I got Perry Stern coming up next. I don't know. Do you know Perry Stern, don't you?
Yeah, I know Perry. Yeah.
You know what? He's from Auto Next, so I had to put him behind you so that he could be up next from Auto Next. See?
So, and I'm AutoBefore.com. That's my new.
Exactly.
Well, we've actually got the Indianapolis 500 this weekend, and if there's ever been an Indianapolis 500 that's been so overlooked, it's got to be this one.
Really?
I mean, it's always on Memorial Day. It's in May. Yeah, there was a race in Indy in Memorial Day, but it was NASCAR. You know, so yeah, we've got a Memorial Day weekend race in August, and we also have a NASCAR race at Daytona where I will be attending on the behalf of Drive. It's I'll be there representing Alan Taylor and the entire cast of cranky characters you have.
Right. I'll tell BJ you said that, by the way.
Do that. So, yeah, like she doesn't know.
So let me ask you now. A friend of mine says, let's go to the Indy 500. He goes, because they're only letting in, you know, the teams and the people involved with sponsors and things like that and a few journalists. And I'm like, you know what? I mean, it's a spectacle, right? But it's not going to be a spectacle the way it would without all the people and all the stuff.
So. Well, that's kind of what I'm writing about for the Daytona race. This is the first time the Cup cars that you know, in 71 years have raced on the road course. They're racing on the same course as the 24-hour of Daytona sports cars do, the IMSA guys.
Right.
I mean, these are 3,600-pound cars that they're going to be slinging around these turns in the middle of Daytona. There is a chicane to slow them down a little bit before they get to that monster first turn coming down off the banking where you make that left turn right after the pits, but they're still going to be hauling ass. Well, you know, I've got press credentials. I'm going to be one of like six people with press credentials, and that's it. And then they're selling, as they did for the first IMSA race in Daytona that I did go to a month or so ago, maybe 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 tickets.
Well, hold on. We're talking about the NASCAR race, right?
The NASCAR race.
All right, hold tight because we got two different races. I got to take a break. Indy 500 this weekend. And the NASCAR race at Daytona, Stephen Cole Smith is going to be there. He's got a roofer at his house right now that's shooting nails all over the place. He's got a little PTSD. This is The Drive. Don't go anywhere. We'll come back and get some more coverage of what's going to happen at the Indy race and the NASCAR Cup race. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
This is the song that the roofers are singing on Stephen Cole Smith's roof in Florida. They're out there in the heat of the day roofing. He's sitting in there with an iced tea with one of those little umbrellas on it, talking to me on the radio about motorsports. Somebody's got to do it, right, Steve?
You know, it's not quite that pleasant. I'm sitting here doing all the things you mentioned, but I also just spilled a glass of Mountain Dew on my feet. So I have ice-cold Mountain Dew on my feet and no real place to wipe it.
Just wipe it on your leg.
If it gives you energy, it may be a very bizarre energy. Let me ask you a question, a real question. Yeah. How do you tip roofers? This is probably the guy's last day.
Well, hold it. I've got the answer. You have somebody run out and you, like, you know, if your wife's there or whatever, have her run out in just her bra or something, and they'll all look, and then you just reach over and grab the guy's leg and tip him off. And that way he falls. That's what you're talking about, right? How to tip a roofer?
No,
like cow tipping?
That's certainly an option I'm going to put in the playbook for the future. But no, but seriously, I mean, $20 per roofer. I mean, you know, the foreman, I think, maybe gets 40. Compared to your West Coast dollars, that's probably paltry. But down here,
I'll tell you
a funny roofing story. Okay, do you remember Randy Lanier?
Oh yeah,
the rookie of the year for the Indy 500, I think in '86, won Daytona 24. And then got busted for selling marijuana as part of back when we used to call IMSA the International Marijuana Smugglers Association. Randy was the leading guy and got life in prison for marijuana smuggling. And then I did a story on him when he got turned loose. You know, he was part of Reagan's three strikes deal. And so he was going to jail for life for marijuana. And when I did a story, I said, you know, how did you get into this? And he said, well, I lived in Florida. He lives down near Fort Lauderdale. And he said, you know, my dad was a roofer and I was a roofer. And I started selling marijuana to the other guys on the roofing crew. And I found out it was a lot easier to sell marijuana than to work
roof.
On a roof in August in Florida. And that's exactly what these guys are doing. And I wanted to say, you know, marijuana's legal now here. I mean, there's ways that you could probably, there's got to be better ways than to stand on my freaking roof in August and just melt until the sun goes down. So
I can hear that. I can hear that.
That's the nail gun. It's like bang, bang, and then it's
there it is. I love these guys.
I think they're snipers or something. Right? I don't think you get that kind of nail gun expertise.
That is hilarious. All right, so look, we've got 2 minutes till we have to take another break. Give me two minutes more of Daytona. No, it's funnier than heck. I'm good. But 2 minutes of Daytona. What are the highlights?
What's going to happen is this is the Go Bowling 235, which I've also always thought is kind of odd that they're telling you to not watch racing. You should go bowling. And I don't know what 235 is. I guess that's how many laps or how many miles or how many millimeters something is long.
Right.
They'll be on the 3.61-mile 14-turn oval. This is Sunday afternoon. It's going to be on TV, and right before it, the trucks will also be on the TV. This is Sunday. Today it's the Xfinity guys running Daytona, so should be fun to watch if nothing else, because no practice, no qualifying.
Here's your car.
You've never raced. We have no notes. We have no clue as to what's going to happen. Have fun, guys.
Yeah. Now, are you going to have to wear a mask?
Yes, you have to wear a mask and be tested. And as part of the media crew, I have to go through all this different testing and get a QR code on my phone that they have to read when I get in or I don't get in the press room. I did buy a ticket. My wife and I both bought $49 tickets. Those are the cheap seats. They're so far down from the track that we'll be have trouble even seeing the media center, but I'm going to kind of go back and forth.
Unbelievable. Not that you have to wear a mask. You're doing the show underneath the nail guns as the guys are roofing his house. You're crazy.
They cannot be closer. They're like 3 feet away from my head here. Terrifying.
All right, hang tight. We'll get a little more about the Indy 500 coming up on the other side. Stephen Cole Smith, Auto Week, Automobile Magazine, and Grassroots Motorsports, Motorsports Correspondent. This is The Drive. Sugar and spice.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance, plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, this song is called Originals Prankster from The Offspring, and Stephen Cole Smith is my original prankster. He says to me, you're going to have to guess what's going on in the beginning because there wasn't nail guns going off. He's getting his house roofed right now. They're right over his head. It's just too funny, man. All right. So the Indy 500 is going on this weekend. A buddy of mine actually offered to fly me out there to go. He goes, look, we can have some fun. But I don't know. I don't know that anything is going to be fun the way it used to be. Are we done with the fun? I mean, is it just television now, Steve? I mean, what's the future going to hold?
It pretty much is, Alan. I mean, like I was saying a minute earlier before I got sidetracked, which almost never happens, I went to the IMSA race at Daytona, and there were maybe 3,500 people there in a stadium made for 100,000. Probably the same thing for this race. You know, you're talking about Indy, where really nobody's going to be there just because of the difference in the states. And that's, if people are wondering why all these schedules are being bounced around and IndyCar and NASCAR are scheduling all these weird races, sometimes at the same place. This is, like the third time they've been to Indy and the third or fourth time people have raced at Daytona. It's because of the states. John Doonan at IMSA told me that the states have such different testing requirements that it's just, you know, their Watkins Glen race has been knocked out for both of IndyCar and IMSA. So, yeah, it is. That's kind of what the story I'm going to do is, how much fun can you have for $49 from the cheap seats when the nearest person to you, you couldn't even recognize race creed or color, according to, unless you had a pair of binoculars.
Right.
Either that or is it going to be fun because we've got the track all to ourselves. Like, I love going to the Walmart in Bushnell, Florida before this because at 2 in the morning, nobody goes. It's my personal Walmart, and I kind of enjoy that. And I don't want a lot of other people in my Walmart. But right. So it's maybe it'll be fun with not having anybody in my personal racetrack, which Daytona always has been.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're going to tell us about it. But
you're absolutely right about it being for television, though. This is to fulfill the television rights, really nothing else. Yeah, it keeps the sport alive. Yeah, it gives some exposure to sponsors. But this is a TV deal. Nobody's arguing about that.
Well, same with Indy, isn't it?
I think it is, except IndyCar has a slightly different TV model than NASCAR does. NASCAR gets paid for everything. IndyCar, I'm not sure, does or doesn't get paid as high a percentage. But with NASCAR, definitely they get paid per race. The Daytona, I mean, the Indy 500, yeah, they've always paid an enormous amount of money to get the Indy 500. But is this really the Indy 500? This isn't Memorial Day. This isn't the pageantry. This isn't Florence Henderson and Jim Nabors, largely because they're dead. But they probably wouldn't be there even if they weren't. Right. It's just going to be a weird experience, and I'm kind of sorry I'm not going to be able to watch it at home. But, you know, I'll be outside. I'll be at least being able to smell exhaust and hear loud noises, which I am in my house right now, so maybe it won't be that different for me.
Exactly. You know, the strange pandemic world that we're living in right now, I do believe is the ultimate tipping point to change that a lot of people did not want to accept for many things. No one thing in particular, many, many, many things. I mean, e-racing and all that kind of stuff. All of a sudden, here's this strange year that everybody just has to accept what's going on in the world. And maybe they're going to go, all right, so things are going to be different now. You know, I mean, I don't know. Does it feel like that to you at all?
I agree completely. I think this has been, I mean, you and I are no kids. We're not 18 years old. But in our lives, we have never experienced anything as strange as this. It feels like the end of the world to me. I mean, it feels like the plague of locusts. There was a locust dead on my front doorstep the other day.
No.
I think I got nailed by a nail gun. But right. Anyway, it just kind of like, okay, where's your friends? You know, where's the plague of the rest of the locusts?
Right.
It just feels weird. You know, you watch TV and everything is either nine people looking like the old Brady Bunch opening or Hollywood Squares on your screen because they're on Zoom, or it's a repeat. And it hasn't been for months. And it will be for months because they're not making any new shows now.
I know.
So it's like our lives have been changed in little tiny ways we never expected, and in huge, enormous ways we never expected. And I think you're absolutely correct. Yeah. How we come out of this pandemic is going to say a lot for this country.
I agree.
Good or bad, it's going to say a lot for this country.
I totally agree. Well, I hope that you can make it through the battleground that appears to be happening on your roof.
I am huddled under my desk right now, just kind of like we were in grammar school. When they taught us to jump under the desk because Nikita Khrushchev in Russia was going to bomb us all with nuclear bombs. So I'm huddled like that. I'm glad I had the practice.
I tell you what, wear your helmet, please. Yeah. Well, listen, congrats on the new roof. And if I hear that you're in the hospital having a nail removed from your skull, I'll understand why. And
no, the fact that it's about $25,000 is why I'll be in the hospital.
Oh, God. Stephen Cole Smith, Auto Week, Automobile Magazine, Grassroots Motorsports. Please report back once you've gone to the Daytona race. I want to hear what it's like to be there with nobody else.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Steve. Buddy. Appreciate it. Be safe over there. Good Lord. I don't know what to think. We're going to take a break. Come back with Perry Stern. Be right back. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Brembo. Brembo Brakes, the choice of champions, and you can buy Brembo really easy for your vehicle at their website, buybrembo.com. Doesn't get any easier than that. Perry Stern joining us right now, contributor to MSN.com, The Drive here, you know, with Alan Taylor, that's me, and editor of Auto Next, NXT, Auto NXT. And I told Stephen Cole Smith, by the way, that I said, Perry's up next because he's Auto Next. And he says, oh, say hi to Perry for me. So
that's very kind of him.
Yeah. Steve says, oh. He's, by the way, getting a roof put on his house. And the audience got to hear, you know, you know how they drag the nail gun across. And he's like under his desk doing the show. And you can hear it as clear as a bell. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, a little realism there.
Yeah, exactly. So, Perry, 1,000 horsepower club. What is that? It's a story you did. 1,000 horsepower.
Yeah.
It's insanity.
It's basically cars with more than 1,000 horsepower, which, you know, at one time, a long time ago, I did a story called the 500 Club.
Right.
Because there weren't really that many cars that had more than 500 horsepower.
Right.
And now there are a lot of cars out there that you can buy that are street legal that have 1,000 plus, more than 1,000 horsepower.
I know. Well, John Hennessy, his is like 16 or 17 horsepower now, the F5, I think they call it, the Hennessy.
1,817 horsepower.
Is that what it is? Oh, my gosh. What do you do with that? You know?
I don't know. Because, I mean, it's like, I don't even know how you put, eventually the rubber just rips off the tire, I would think.
Yeah, or the tire just spins out of control, right? How do you put the horsepower to the ground?
But they're saying that this, that the Venom F5, which he, by the way, named after the F5 Hurricane,
right,
or Tornado rather, is supposed to go 300 plus miles per hour. It's going to weigh under 3,000 pounds and have 1,817 horsepower.
Well, and so you and I both recently drove, and I've been saying this far too much, the M8 competition convertibles, what I had. You had an M6 competition, I think, didn't you?
Actually, in my driveway right now is an M8 competition coupe.
Oh, okay, that's what it was. I knew it. I knew somebody else. Is it the green one?
The green one. Yes. It is very green.
Now, I gave it on the thumbs-up scale of 1 to 10, and normally I do 1 to 5 on a thumbs-up because you only have 5 fingers on your hand, right? So I gave it a 15 out of 1 to 10.
So you liked it.
It was fantastic, right? I mean, I just loved it.
It is an amazing machine.
It is.
No question. It has considerably less than 1,000 horsepower. I think it's 617.
Yeah.
But the acceleration is absolutely incredible. I mean, you put your foot down, you glance away, and you're going 120 miles an hour.
Exactly. And my wife says, you're doing 108. And I was just like second gear or something. I don't know. And I go, really? And I was like, yeah, baby. But it's because it's all-wheel drive that they can put that power. And it's only got 617 horsepower? Is that what it was?
Exactly.
Which, imagine, what do you do with 1,000? What do you do with 1,800? What do you do with all that power when it was already scary as hell with this BMW competition, the M competition? So I don't know.
And it's hard to even get your head around the fact that, a car with 600, I think probably the most powerful car I've driven is the McLaren 720. So that was I drove a Veyron a long time ago. That was 1,200 horsepower. And that was fast enough to water my eyes. When I accelerated, It made my eyes water. It was just unbelievable. But now you've got, it's not just, the high horsepower, but now you've got electric vehicles that can put all of the torque instantly. So You've got, this, the Rimac, I think it's how you pronounce it, the Rimac C2, that is 1,914 horsepower. It says it will go 0 to 60 in 1.85 seconds.
I think that tears the skin off your skull is what happens.
Your brain can't think that fast.
No. That is so stupid. It's awesome. I love it. But that's what's great about America. It's like it's wretched excess of horsepower. As I would quote Bob Lutz when he said, wretched excess. I loved hearing that because that's what we love as Americans. And they're doing
exactly.
So efficiently too, right?
Well, yeah. I think the one that stands out in this story is the Lotus Evija. So that is the new Lotus. It's going to be 1,973 horsepower, four electric motors, so one electric motor on each wheel. And I believe that each electric motor is, around 500 horsepower. Each motor on each wheel is close to the power of the BMW M8 competition.
Right. Or let's just say like a GT500 of old.
Yeah.
Right? Because they were 500 horsepower. But yeah, it's pure insanity. But the thing
it's a great time we live in.
It is, but I just don't know how the human brain can comprehend the 0 to 60 times and the torque and all that. And it's like at some point you actually go over the top. Is that the right way to say it? Over the top.
I would say. But then again, what is over the top? I heard once that the definition of too much power is if you can spin the wheels from the end of one turn to the beginning of the next turn.
Right. So I heard this explanation one time, which I don't know whether it's true or not, but it sounds pretty interesting. So I'll tell it again. The human being, when it's born, the brain is wired for like 17 miles an hour because that's as fast as a human being can run, right? So as you go through life, you ride around in cars and your brain kind of gets rewired because you've seen 60 and 70 miles an hour. And that seems quite normal. At first, if you were, a little kid and somebody kind of held you up and you could see how fast you were going, the little kid's eyes would just be like, wow, what's going on, right? But as you go through life, you get rewired, and 70, 80, 90 miles an hour is not so bizarre. But when you start to be able to go 200 miles an hour, right, or now 300 miles an hour, all of a sudden, there's not many people that have experienced the 200-mile-an-hour club, and now with John Hennessy and the others from Bugatti and what have you that are doing 300 miles an hour. And, you know, the people that have done the world land speed records that do 400 and 500 and 600 miles an hour, whatever it is, that's some rarefied air. And here we're approaching the ability to do pretty easily 200 miles an hour in Corvettes and big Mercedes sedans and, you know, cars that are, you know, attainable by the average Joe. Anyway, we're talking about 1,000 horsepower club with Perry Stern. AutoNXT.net is his website, AutoNXT.net. He's also a contributor to this show and MSN.com. I want to get your take on that about the 300-mile-an-hour club and, you know, how your brain can actually, like, flip out when you start going to a certain speed. You're listening to The Drive. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years. Well, Perry Stern is joining me. He's got a story out, the 1,000 horsepower club. He's on the line. We were talking about the fact that guys like John Hennessy, the tuner company, Hennessy with the Venom F5, has, I think you said, 1,817 horsepower that'll do 300 miles an hour.
I think that's what their plan is. It's not out yet, so we haven't seen 300 yet. I think Bugatti is currently the only production model that's managed to break 300.
But see, I went 180 miles an hour, and it was scarier than hell. Have you gone faster than 180?
I did 209.
Oh! Was it weird? Come on.
It was crazy. I mean, but when I finished, it was a closed course in a McLaren 720S. And basically, we hit top speed because I had my foot down and it wouldn't go any faster. And when I got out of the car, my everything was shaking. Yeah. I wasn't scared. It was just adrenaline. I was exactly. So excited. I couldn't wait to do it again.
It's like drinking 5 Red Bull in, you know, like 20 seconds. You know, it's really an interesting psychological thing that happens to you when you go over a certain speed. I imagine that people that drive or fly jet pilots, you know, the fighter jets that have incredible G's put on them and, you know, people that go to the moon and rockets and things, they must experience and must have incredible amount of, I don't know, fortitude. I don't even know what to call it, but these speeds are very dangerous and they're putting them in the hands of people that are not smart enough to go probably 100 and they're going 200. I mean, look at you. You did it. I did it.
Well, that's the crazy thing is all of these. I mean, it's, you know, anybody can buy these and drive them legally. They're street legal, you know, that, you know, somebody who happens to win the lottery can go out and spend $1 million on a car that will go 220, 230 miles an hour. Actually, they don't even need that much money to do that. The problem is that, of course, you know, in Europe, there are roads where there is no speed limit and you can actually go and stretch their legs. We don't have roads like that in America. So in order to do that, you're quite illegal.
Yeah, exactly.
And usually pretty dangerous because the cars around you are not going that fast.
So in this story, 1,000 Horsepower Club, do you name off all the different cars and what have you that are there?
Yes, we do. So basically, it ranges, you know, from right around 1,000 to, you know, the Aston Martin Valkyrie is one, for example, 1,160 horsepower. Jeez. You've got, a whole range of different Bugatti Chirons, the Sport, and then the Bugatti Devo. And, you know, because Bugatti, everything Bugatti is 1,500 plus horsepower. But then there's a couple new ones. So there's a car called the Zinger, I believe it's called, C-Z-I-N-G-E-R, the 21C, and it's actually based in L.A., so it's another American car. It's called the 21C, as I mentioned. It's hybrid. So it runs, I believe, a 2.8-liter twin-turbo V8, which is a really small V8, but it redlines at 11,000 RPMs.
Oh my gosh.
It's got two high-output electric motors. So total is 1,250 horsepower, but the car weighs almost nothing. So they're saying 0 to 60 in 1.9 with a top speed of 248 miles an hour. it's just... Well, and they're going to build 80 copies of it. It looks really cool.
How much?
And it's, let's see, did they say how much?
Again, when there's...
No, I don't think they have the price on it, but...
When there's low numbers,
it's not
going to
be cheap, I'm sure.
Yeah, very expensive, but wow, man. So the bigger question is, when do we put wings on these things and have them fly? At a certain point, you know, I mean, gosh, you could be flying.
Well, I mean, they have wings on them now to make sure they don't fly.
That's a very good point. Because I had a Viper ACR, and it had the gigantic wing on the back, and it had 2,000 pounds of downforce in order to keep the doggone wheels on the ground. And if you're going into a corner and you have a lot of downforce, it makes you stick to the road. And that thing did feel like it was on a rail. I mean, it's amazing. But you're right. They do have downforce wings. Didn't even think of that.
Yeah, I mean, because when you are going that fast, you know, it would seem that you get a little puff of air underneath and suddenly, you know, you are airborne.
Yeah.
Which would be pretty scary. They do have flying cars now, but they don't go that fast.
What was out of these cars? Have you driven everything in your 1,000 Horsepower Club article?
No, unfortunately, I don't think I have driven any of these. you know, it's
this is your way of reaching out and saying,
have something
hey!
You strive for. And
right.
You know, I've looked through and, you know, I've sat in a couple of them, but that's about it.
Gosh. Yeah. But you've done 200 miles an hour. Now I'm kind of jealous of you. I want to know, it was there, you drove the Porsche 718 Cayman GT4. Can you start that segment out for this next segment we're going to? What did you think of
that? It's the definition of pure sports car. I mean, it's not 1,000 horsepower. In fact, it's not a lot of horsepower at all. I think it's around 400 horsepower. I have to check. But manual transmission, rear-wheel drive, I mean, it's as if you put on a suit when you put on that car.
Really? It fits like
because
a suit,
you just fit so comfortably in it, and it just does everything you want it to do. I love that car.
You got to love that. And you know what? Porsche does that so well, and I'm so happy that they're offering it with a manual transmission because James Brolin, the actor, was wanting to buy a new Porsche 911 Targa, and it only came in automatic transmission. And he's like, what? He's like, a Porsche? Only available in automatic? We'll talk more about this on the other side. If you're looking for a Porsche 718 Cayman GT4, you can hear more about that on the other side of this break with Perry Stern from Auto NXT. We'll be right back.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
My buddy Perry Stern's joining us. He's the editor of Auto NXT and contributor to MSN.com and this show, The Drive with Alan Taylor. So we're talking about Porsche's new 718 Cayman GT4, manual transmission. Perry says it fits like a finely fit suit. You could have just said it fits like a glove.
Well, as soon as you said fits like a, then it's like, oh, yeah, I should have said glove.
That's all right.
Yes. But it's just a fantastic car. I mean, and you're right. Manual transmission has become kind of a rarity in high-end sports cars now. I mean, that 1,000 horsepower club we just talked about, I don't believe there's a manual transmission in the lot.
Well, and I'm getting a GT500 not available with a manual transmission, Ford GT500 Mustang. I thought, what?
Yeah, I mean.
But I drove
it. You can't get a Lamborghini with a manual. You can't get a Ferrari with a manual. You can't get any of those. So it's nice. I mean, the Cayman GT4, so, you know, the Cayman is the smaller coupe. You know, in the GT4, it's got big rear spoiler on the back, so it doesn't fly. And, you know, the dual exhaust, but it has that wide look to it. It looks purposeful. And inside, you know, it's also very, you know, it's nothing that's super luxury, but it's comfortable. It's, you know, it's got the nice sporty interior, but it handles so well. I mean, the steering is so precise. It just makes you want to go fast.
The Cayman, it's just, I know what you're talking about. I've driven them before, and it's like, they drive like they're a part, like an extension of your body. That's why, you know, exactly. Fits like a glove works better than a suit, because when I have a good fitting suit on, it may fit good till I bend over and whoosh, oh no, it just ripped open. but when I have a good fitting glove on, it stretches and goes, and you open your fingers up and it does everything you want it to do. And how much is the Porsche 718 Cayman GT4? I'm just curious.
It's not exactly cheap. It's about $110,000, the one that I drove, and that was pretty well fully equipped with, you know, the dual zone climate control, GPS navigation, et cetera.
Right.
You know, all the goodies.
Well, you know, and you said it, the wing that's on the back keeps it from flying. And a lot of people used to look at me and think, what do you have that big wing on there for? I'm like, well, you haven't been for a ride with me lately, have you? You want my car to fly off the road? Let's shift a little bit in the last 2 minutes and talk about modern American muscle. And I know that Dodge, I shouldn't say Dodge, but Ram has got a new something coming out that's going to be a Ford Raptor fighter. Do you know anything about that yet? Yeah.
I know a little bit about it, but can't talk about it until next week. But it is, I believe they do have the Raptor in its sights, and it should be very entertaining.
When you talk
basically
about
high performance off-road truck.
I've got my sights on something like that. When you talk about modern American muscle, is there one out there that you were thinking of when you started that story?
It's almost always Hellcat.
Yeah.
You know, Dodge, they have the Challenger and the Charger, and those are pretty old platforms. They've been around a long time, but they have figured out the formula of just shoving ridiculous horsepower. I remember when they introduced the Hellcat and they said it had 707 horsepower, and I thought it was a joke. I couldn't believe that they would actually put that much horsepower in a production car.
I know it. It's just delicious. It's lovely. So with the Jeep getting the 392, I can't wait to see what that's going to be like. That's a muscle car now. They just turned a Jeep Wrangler into a muscle car, just like they did with the Jeep Grand Cherokee with the Trackhawk. Track, Jeep, and the word racetrack together. You know, I mean, I think it's brilliant.
Well, they just introduced Durango Hellcat, too.
Oh, that's right. So, they did. Right. It's brilliant. Just brilliant.
They can make it, they can keep the attention going to any vehicle just by shoving a Hellcat engine in it.
You know what? And I think it's completely brilliant. And let's cross my fingers they do that with the, what are they calling it? TRX? Like a T-Rex?
I believe that's the name, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like T-Rex.
Yeah, exactly. These stories can be found at autonxt.net. Not .com, .net. AutoNXT. So if you're looking for your next auto, check out Auto NXT with Perry Stern and all the guys that he works with there. Thank you, Perry.
Certainly. Always happy to talk to you.
I am jealous of the 200-mile-an-hour club. I only got to 180 and chickened
out. Consider it a challenge.
I shall, brother. That I shall. All right, that's about it for me this week. Listen, it's a perilous world out there. Be safe. Have fun. Live your life. See you next week. If you got the time, I am not tend to get yourself in. And here is time. Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020.
It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.